My name is Omaya Jones, and this is the Arkansas Times Week in Review podcast for Friday, March 1st, 2024. Thanks for joining us. Tuesday, March 5th is Election Day, so today we're previewing several judicial and legislative races on the ballot with managing editor Benjamin Hardy. We'll touch on multiple contests for the state Supreme Court, but for a more in-depth discussion on those races, you should listen back to the February 10th episode of this show. What are the races to watch on March 5th?
Yeah, well, I mean, the most important races in the state are probably the Supreme Court races for state Supreme Court. There are two races to watch, or two seats there. One is to fill the seat of retiring Chief Justice Dan Kemp, and that is a four-way race, so it's really crowded. And three of the candidates are justices currently on the court. So you have Justice Rhonda Wood, Karen Baker, and Barbara Webb. And they're also joined by a fourth candidate, Jay Martin, who's a former Democratic state rep. I think most folks think that probably one of the three justices are likely to win or advance to the runoff, at least. The way this works is that if no candidate secures a majority outright on March 5th, then the top two vote-getters will go to a runoff in November during the general election. So, you know, that probably seems like the most likely outcome of this race. And then, I mean, we say that just because with some, you know, with candidates with justice next to their name versus somebody who is not a judge, most voters in these low information judicial races are probably going to go with one of the justices. And, you know, we could go into more detail about each of those candidates, that we've covered them some in the past and the dynamics of this race. So, I'll just leave it there for now. The Supreme Court race, which we've also talked about extensively in the past, is between current Supreme Court Justice Courtney Hudson and Carlton Jones, who is a circuit court judge from Southwest Arkansas down in Texarkana. This is a race where, I mean, again, you know, the sitting justice is going to have an advantage because of that title. But it's sort of interesting in recent weeks. It seems like Jones has been, you know, raising more money, at least doing more fundraising events. And there is some, you know, it seems like there's evidence that the Hudson campaign at least sees him as a potential threat. I don't know how serious of a threat, but, you know, they're running a race. You know, they seem to not be taking it for granted. And the odd thing about that seat, as we have discussed before, is that even though Courtney Hudson is sitting on the Supreme Court, she is not trying to run for Chief Justice. She's kind of sliding horizontally over to a different seat, a different Associate Justice seat, or so she hopes. And the reason she's doing that seems to be primarily to prolong her time on the court because of these weird judicial retirement rules that Arkansas has that require that penalize judges by taking away their retirement if they run for election after their 70th birthday. So because of how the terms of those seats are staggered on the court, it just kind of works out better for Hudson if she runs for position two rather than position three, which she's currently in now. Even though that's a long ways in the future, she's pretty young. She's in her 50s, so she doesn't have to retire imminently, but she's sort of doing this long-term planning. And then the other thing about those races is that, if the sitting justices, one of the sitting justices, or, you know, more than one of the sitting justices wins one of these seats, then that will leave a vacancy that is then filled by the governor. So come November, then that means, you know, there's a pretty good chance that Governor Sanders will get to make one, if not two, new appointments to the state Supreme Court. Anyway, so for folks who are looking especially at that position two associate justice seat featuring Courtney Hudson and Carlton Jones, if you're kind of watching, well, what's the downstream outcome here? If Courtney Hudson wins, that means that Sarah Sanders does get to make another appointment to the Supreme Court. Something to consider.
Okay, and what about Congress? Are there any interesting primaries there?
Yeah, so there's a really, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's competitive, but it is interesting primary up in Northwest Arkansas and the 3rd Congressional District. That's the seat that's held by Steve Womack, and he's been up there. He's been there for a while, and he's being challenged from the right by a state legislator, Senator Clint Penzo. And I mean, There's several interesting things to note here. So Womack has sort of quietly made a name for himself as a fairly influential congressman. He is seen as one of the more moderate Republicans up in Congress now, and a person who's willing to sometimes sort of make some noise about things that in the House, which is increasingly people kind of fall in line with, the right wing. Like he's a bit more independent. He's, for example, was after January 6th, he took a stand against former Congressman Mo Brooks, who was out there on the Capitol kind of using very incendiary language, kind of goading people to, I mean, as many see it, eventually riot at the Capitol and break into the Capitol. And Womack was quite vocal in condemning that. I know I don't want to overstate it and say like he's broken with his party or broken with Donald Trump exactly, but he is, I think, a more independent voice than many congressional Republicans. But the thing that earned him a primary challenger this time around is really about the speaker race. And folks probably remember the sort of crazy, tumultuous, time after House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was unceremoniously deposed by his own caucus. And then there was, this sort of power struggle for the speakership, in which there was a series of candidates that were trying and failing to get the speaker's gavel. Steve Scalise was from Louisiana, was kind of first in line, and he and Womack are allies and friends. When Scalise could not do that and was sort of torpedoed by the right, then Jim Jordan, who's like kind of this hard right Freedom Caucus guy, was tried to make a go of it. And Womack arguably did to Jordan what the right had done to Scalise. Like he sort of stood up and said that he wasn't going to vote for Jordan, that he didn't think that the way that Scalise had been treated was fair, and that Jordan didn't have his vote. And a number of other Republicans, as it turned out, also said that. I'm not sure, if Womack himself was decisive in convincing other members to turn against Jordan, but enough House Republicans did, and that the Jordan didn't have the votes either. And so then, of course, there was more chaos up there, and eventually, now we have Senator or Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana, who's the speaker. He has endorsed Womack, but the bottom line here is that because Womack was sort of instrumental in helping to sink Jim Jordan's candidacy, he's attracted the ire of sort of the more well-organized, I think, parts of the right, like Freedom Caucus folks. And so that is really the basis of Clint Penzo's challenge to him. Penzo cited this as being like, I think this is why he's a rhino, a Republican in name only. And if you go on Twitter, you'll see a fair amount of chatter of people, saying that Steve Womack is a traitor to the Republican Party, we have to get rid of him. So, I mean, it is an interesting question of whether this is a credible primary challenge, and he has reason to be worried. I think that, more moderate or independent Republicans have been, there's been a history of them being primaried from the right and successfully in the past decade or so. You think about like Eric Cantor, for example. I think that not many people think this is really that situation. Like, I think it'd be a real shock if Womack were to lose, but still, interesting to watch the margin here and to see what happens.
Okay. You mentioned the Supreme Court already, but what about some other judicial races?
Yeah, so and I don't want to overstep my knowledge here. There are, a lot of judicial races across the state, and I'll just run through a few Pulaski County races here. And well, actually one that's not Pulaski County, there's a Court of Appeals race that's important. That's sort of the appellate court that is, I mean, under the Supreme Court is probably the wrong way to frame it, but that has jurisdiction over appellate cases that come from circuit court that don't go to the Supreme Court. There's several Little Rock folks running for that. Molly McNulty, Little Rock attorney, Casey Tucker, who's currently a Pulaski County Circuit Judge, and then Pam Hathaway. And my understanding is those are all fairly strong candidates. Then moving along, there's a circuit judge race that to fill the seat that's now held by Mackie Pierce, who's running for a different judgeship. That's also a three-way race. You have Brooke Augusta Ware, Robert Cortinez and Brent Eubanks. They're all attorneys from Little Rock. And then there's a sort of a series of these district judge races that are kind of weird because all of them have circuit judges running for the seats. And that's strange because, I mean, typically you'd think of going from circuit judge to district judge as a step down in Arkansas. Circuit court is where felony cases are heard and major civil cases. And district court is more like, you know, misdemeanor cases and so on. And so, you know, why would a circuit judge move down to district court or want to move down to district court? And the answer is, once again, judicial retirement, because you got people that are trying to avoid this penalty of retiring, you know, of losing their retirement if they stay on court and run for another term. And so they're, you know, they've kind of looked at the way that the terms are staggered in these different places and are like, well, if I run for district court, I could potentially have a judgeship for a bit longer. So the race is there. There's in Pulaski County, there's Judge Chip Welch versus Beth Burgess. Then there is Jill Camps versus Circuit Judge Mackie Pierce. And finally, Robert Tellez versus Circuit Judge Herb Wright. And for more information on all those races, you can visit our website. We have some folks that are more knowledgeable about these things than me weighing in there, such as Matt Campbell, who you all know from the Blue Hog Report, who's an attorney himself, and he has some thoughts on the races. We have not endorsed anybody as a publication, as the Arkansas Times, but if you want the opinion of one well-informed attorney, I suggest you check that out.
Okay. And what about any other legislative races you want to talk about?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of Republican primaries around the state, and I'll be honest, I'm not super familiar with a lot of those. In Central Arkansas, there's a few primaries to watch. I think most of them are foregone conclusions, but there's House District 76, which is currently the incumbent is Representative Joy Springer, and you have a sort of rematch between her and Ryan Davis, who ran against each other several years back. And I mean, this is kind of a famous race because in the special election primary runoff in 2020, Springer beat Davis by just a single vote, and which is pretty wild. But then in the next election, the general election primary, she won pretty decisively over him. This is a seat that's formerly held by legendary civil rights attorney John Walker, who's a longtime state representative, who died a few years back. Springer worked closely with Walker throughout his life. She worked in his law firm, and so she's kind of campaigning on, you know, continuing to carry on his legacy. Davis has won the endorsement of State Senator Joyce Elliott, which is kind of interesting because she's, you know, definitely seen as a leader in the Black community and a leader in the progressive movement in general in Arkansas. Davis has been criticizing Springer for not having a larger profile at the Capitol and so on. So we'll have to see if he can make it. There's also a third candidate in that race, Kia Wilson, but I think that Springer and Davis are the primary ones. There's also a House District race in Pine Bluff that's being opened up by Representative Vivian Flowers' decision to leave the legislature and run for a local race. And then there's also an interesting House District race in Saline County where there's the Benton School Board president, Paul Childress, is facing off against Ken Yang, who folks around the Capitol may know. He's sort of a Arkansas Family Council guy, like the social conservative lobbying group, and sort of a constant presence at the Capitol, but he seems to really kind of struggled to gain traction in this race. His opponent is outraising him pretty significantly in fundraising.
Okay, so and are there any other local races of particular interest you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I mean, farther down the ballot, you know, not legislative, not, you know, not federal. I'm sure there are tons that are not on my radar, but just one to mention is Democratic primary for mayor in Pine Bluff. So this is actually where Vivian Flowers is headed. She's leaving the legislature to run for mayor of Pine Bluff. And it's a crowded race. She is challenging an incumbent, Shirley Washington, who's been in that position since, I believe, 2017. But she's not the only one. There's, I think, three other people in the Democratic primary there. I mean, I think that perhaps Washington is seen as vulnerable because Pine Bluff is struggling, and I mean, there's widespread concerns about crime. There's also questions about this public-private partnership down there called Go Forward Pine Bluff, which a few years ago convinced voters to approve a sales tax to fund a bunch of projects around the city. But then it seems to have kind of lost the trust of voters, because last year they tried twice, actually, two different elections, to try to convince voters to renew that sales tax and pass a new sales tax for public safety purposes. And it was shot down in the polls both times. You know, there's also been a lot of questions about spending by the city. Some questionable contracts have been entered into. And so fairly or not, I think it's probably damaged Shirley Washington's position. And so, Vivian Flowers, I think, is probably the strongest candidate there, but there are several others. And it's sort of an unusual thing, too, for a legislator, you know, to leave the Capitol to go run in a local election. It's not unprecedented. There's definitely some other examples, such as Representative George McGill up in Fort Smith, had been in the legislature for a while and is now is mayor of Fort Smith. But it's not very common. So, if you want a little more information about that race, check out the Arkansas Times. And we have former editor Leslie Peacock did a great little story about Vivian Flowers and her decision to run for that position. And check it out.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you. That's managing editor Benjamin Hardy of the Arkansas Times. You can find more information about all of these races and more by going to arctimes.com. That's the show this week. Thanks for listening to the Arkansas Times Week in Review podcast. We'll see you next week.